Father God, thank you that we can be here together this morning. We thank you for your wonderful word, which you have given to us, which you have preserved for us to read. We thank you that we can read these songs and poems that David and many others wrote. And we pray that this psalm will encourage our hearts this morning. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So to run or not to run, that is the question. To run or not to run was the dilemma that David was facing in this psalm. Now, I'd like to share a little story where there was a situation where I had to make this decision to run or not to run. Now, it happened on a beautiful sunny day. I was in primary school or maybe early high school, and I was with my brother and his friend. And where I grew up, we backed onto some bush. So we loved exploring the bush, and it was such a nice sunny day. Myself, my brother, and his friend, we said, let's go for a bushwalk down to the creek. And so we set off on our adventure. And as we were entering the trail, this man like appeared out of nowhere. I don't know where he came from. He always like came out of the bushes. And he said, be careful today, young fellas. There are lots of snakes about. Now, this should have scared us, but we were young and we were like, this just made our adventure more exciting. We're like, wow, snakes, let's keep going. And so we continued on our adventure and we made it down to the creek safely. But it was on the way back that we had our encounter. As we were walking back, this massive brown snake came out on the trail in front of us. It was the length of the fire trail, about 4 meters in length. And we were meters from it. And I said to my brother on my left and his friend on my right, I said, whatever you do, do not move a muscle. Because I'd watched a lot of Steve Irwin and I thought, well, that's what you're meant to do. Don't move. But then I looked to my left and I looked to my right and they had already bolted. And so here I was standing there with this snake. Now, this snake didn't have its head reared as if it was going to strike, but it did have its head up and it was looking at me thinking what to do. And I stood there for what felt like an eternity, face to face with this snake. My palms were getting sweaty. My heart was racing. To run or not to run, that was the dilemma that I was in. And after what felt like an eternity, the snake finally decided that I wasn't good for eating and slithered away back into the bushes. And do you know what I did after that? I ran. I ran for my life as fast as I could, possibly back home. And I got back to my brother like, what were you doing? You just left me. So I was reminding him of this story yesterday as well. Don't let him forget it. So I had two options in that situation, to stay or to go. To face the enemy that was in front of me or run for my life. To flee or to stay. They were my two options. And David in this psalm is in a very similar dilemma. He is in a very dangerous and difficult predicament where he has to decide, will he stay or will he go? Will he stay or will he flee like a bird to the mountains? Will he run or will he fight the enemy that is in front of him? Now, you might be familiar with this famous line. Life is like a box of chocolates. Where's that come from? Forrest Gump. What's the other famous line in that movie? Very good. Run, Forrest, run. Well, in this passage, it's run, David, run. That is the advice that he is getting. However, in this psalm, let me be clear that David does not run. Let me say that again. David does not run. Because running in this situation would be running from God. And that is the big point of this psalm, that David will not run because he will not run from God. Running from danger is okay, but running from God is a whole nother story. David will not run from the one that has delivered him again and again and again and again. And so for David, in this particular situation, running is not an option. So I have 3 points that I'd like to share with you this morning, if my clicker works, which I'm not sure it's happening at the moment. I'll try turning the old trick off and on again. All right, was that me or the desk guys? That was there, I did that. So I have 3 points. Running from God is a bad idea. Point one. Point two, running from God is a bad idea. Can you guess what point three is? Very good. Let me be more specific. Running from God is a bad idea because He is our refuge. Verse 1. Running from God is a bad idea because no other refuge will save you. And point 3, running from God is a bad idea because He is exalted. So let's look at this first point now from verse 1. Running from God is a bad idea because He is our refuge. And we begin in verse 1, if you have your Bibles open and it's on the screen. David says, "In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, 'Flee like a bird to your mountain'?" Now the Lord is David's refuge. The Lord is David's safe place, his sanctuary. And so when David was in battle, he did not fear because the Lord was his refuge. When David was fighting Goliath, he might have had a little fear, but he had confidence because God was his refuge. God is David's refuge. Therefore, he won't take this bad advice to flee like a bird to the mountain. He will do no such thing. He will not run from the one that has delivered him again and again and again. And because to flee in this situation will be to run from God. And he will not run from God because God is his refuge. And so what does that mean for us today? What does it mean for us today to have God as our refuge? Well, a refuge, as I've already said, is a shelter or a safe place, a haven, a sanctuary. And this is what asylum seekers seek, isn't it? They seek a place of refuge. This is why they are called refugees. It's what youth on the street seek. They seek a place of refuge. It's what those who experience domestic violence seek. They need a place of refuge, a physical place that provides safety. So what does it mean for us to have the Lord as our refuge in verse 1? Well, as I've mentioned already, I grew up near the bush. And in the bush, a lot of my mates and I, we had places of refuge, caves and cubby houses that we made. And if the off chance we found ourselves in a little bit of trouble, we would run to these places of refuge. Now, this one time, my mates and I, we did find ourselves in a little bit of trouble. We did something that was a little bit naughty. And I was thinking, this is one of these stories where it's like, don't try this at home. Like, I'm stupid, so don't do this, okay, if you're young. This is one of the stupid things I did when I was younger. I was in year 6, and my mates and I discovered this thing called egging. And it's what it sounds like. It's simply throwing eggs at things. And I'm not sure why shopkeepers would sell young guys just a box of eggs, but that's another story. So we used to get eggs and we used to throw them at things. And my mum would be horrified to hear this story. It's probably being recorded, so she's going to hear it at some point. But this is what we did. We decided to stupidly throw an egg at a moving car. And so this car came past. I can't remember who threw it, but splat, the egg hit the car. Now, we did not think through what would happen next. We didn't think that far ahead. We were young, stupid boys. But this is what happened. The car pulled over to the side of the road. And this man got out. Now, it could have been Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. Like, this guy was huge. He was tall. He was well-built. He was muscular. And we were like, uh-oh. To run or not to run, that was the question. And I ran as fast as my little legs would take me. And where did we run to? We ran to our place of refuge. We ran to one of our hiding places that was in the bush, one of our little caves. And we stayed there for hours. And on this occasion, I say on this occasion, we did not get caught. So what does it mean to have the Lord as our refuge? Well, where do you run to when you have egg on your face? Where do you run to when you are stained by sin? We run to Jesus, don't we? Jesus is our place of refuge. Jesus is the one that pays the penalty for our sin. Jesus is the one that wipes the egg from our face. Jesus is the one that shelters us from God's coming wrath. And so again, David confidently declares, "In the Lord I take refuge." And we can confidently declare today that in Jesus we can take refuge. He is the one that shelters us from God's coming wrath. God's coming wrath that is described in verse 6, which says, "On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot." Jesus is our refuge, the one that shields us from God's coming wrath. Now, to use another bush analogy, where I grew up again, there was lots of bushfires, and we had two serious bushfires when I was growing up where we had to be evacuated. And did you know where the safest place to stand when a bushfire occurs? It's actually where the fire has already been burnt. And I heard this story down in Melbourne once where a fire engulfed all the bush around this family home. But the family miraculously survived because they stood where the fire had already been burnt. Because fire can't burn the same place twice. Well, God has already burnt his son for us. He has crucified his son for us, burnt him for us. And so therefore, the safest place to stand is with Jesus, where the fire has already been burnt. He is the one that shelters us from God's coming wrath that is described in verse 6. From God's fiery wrath that is coming in verse 6. And so again, David confidently declares, "In the Lord I take refuge." And you confidently declare today, "In Jesus I take refuge." There was a guy called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a man who died at the end of World War II. And he was actually executed. Why was he executed? Well, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German Christian that opposed Hitler. He was a German Christian that defended the Jews. He was somebody who provided a place of refuge for many Jews that were fleeing for their life. And eventually Hitler found out about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer was sentenced to death. He only died a few days before the war ended. And so he was there. They stripped him of his clothes. He knelt down and prayed. And then he walked to the hangman's noose, where he prayed again. And at that point he said, "This is the end, but for me, the beginning of life." And he died. And the doctor that was there said, "I have never seen a man die with so much peace." Why did Dietrich Bonhoeffer die with so much peace? Because the Lord was his refuge. Jesus was his refuge. This is the confidence that we can have in Jesus today as our place of refuge. And it's the confidence that David oozes from this passage as well. So the Lord is our refuge. And therefore running from him is a bad idea, isn't it? Because we would be running from our place of refuge. And running from him is also a bad idea, because running from God is a bad idea because no other refuge will save us. If we were to run from him, then what other places of refuge might we run to? Some people might be tempted to run to drugs or alcohol. These can be places of refuge, an escape from reality. Some people might run to an unhelpful relationship, and you elevate that person and give them the place of God in your life. They become your God, and God, the real God, gets pushed to the side. This person takes God's place. They become your refuge when God should be first. They might be a nice person, but they are not God. Some people might find refuge in the security and comfort and pleasures of this world as a place of refuge. However, the problem with all these other refuges, that they will not save you from God's coming wrath. The wrath that is again described in verse 6. And so we see in verse 2 that David will not run to this other refuge because he knows that no other refuge will save him. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When their foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? They are saying to David, look, the enemy has their string ready to go with the bow. They're ready to fire at you, David. God will not deliver you this time. Just run away. Run from your place of refuge. The enemy is there in the shadows, ready to get you. Take matters into your own hands. Go to the mountains. You will be better off. But David is like, no. In the Lord, I take refuge. There is no other place that he will go. And this is really bad advice that David is getting. Flee to the birds. Flee like a bird to the mountains. This is really bad advice. Now, perhaps they are giving David this advice. It's military advice, and they think, David, you're out in the open. You need to go hide in the mountains. So maybe they think he's got a bad military strategy. But David's like, no, God is my refuge. I don't need to run. The bad advice is equivalent to when Job's wife says to Job, just curse God and die. Give up on God, Job. And essentially, they are saying the same thing to David here. Just run away from God. It's really bad advice. And then we see in verse 3, they are saying to David, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? They are essentially saying to David, what is your plan B? What will happen when the foundations are destroyed? Well, David's has no plan B. His plan A is the Lord is his refuge. His plan B is essentially the Lord is my refuge. He has no other options, or David has no other options than that. He will not run from the one that has delivered him again and again and again. And likewise, we should not run from Jesus as our refuge, because to run from him would be running into open flames. And then the third thing in this passage is this. Running from God is a bad idea because God is exalted. And we see this in verse 4, that God is the exalted one. Therefore, running from him is a bad idea. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is in his heavenly throne. He's exalted above us all. And therefore, because he is exalted, he observes and examines everything and everyone. He observes everyone on the earth. His eyes examines them. Which means, really, it is impossible to run from God anyway, if he observes and examines everyone. And then David will also not run from God because he knows that God is his judge. Verse 5, the Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. He will not run from God because God is his judge. And it's also interesting here that David says he hates with a passion. Doesn't it make you uncomfortable sometimes when the Bible says God hates? Can God really hate? It's a tough thing to grapple with. But I want you to think about it like this in this context. Don't you really hate the despicable acts that you see on the news or hear about on the news or read about online? Don't you hate the things that you sometimes hear? Or don't you hate perhaps some despicable things that you have seen or witnessed or heard? It's easy to hate such things, such despicable acts, acts of violence with a passion. And so therefore, if we hate this kind of stuff, how much more would a holy God hate it with a passion? And therefore, because of that, God will judge. Verse 6, again, on the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. God will judge. He will judge us all. But remember, those who have faith in Jesus, those who are with Jesus in him as refuge, will escape this judgment because the fire cannot be burnt in the same place twice. Jesus has already been burnt for us. With Jesus, we will escape these flames. And then David finishes his song with this. For the Lord is righteous, he loves justice, the upright will see his face. David gives the ultimate reason why he will not run from the Lord, because the upright will see his face. Those who trust in Jesus will experience God's presence. David sticks with the Lord because one day he will see his face, he will be in his presence. And with Jesus, we will experience God and be in his presence as well. And so why would you run from this? David will do no such thing. So to run or not to run, that is the question. That was the question I had to ask when confronted by the snake. That is the question that I had to ask when I foolishly threw an egg at a car. And this is the dilemma that David is in as well, to run or not to run. Now, it is okay to run from danger. And there are other occasions where David did run from danger. He ran from Saul, the jealous king. He ran from his son Absalom, who wanted his throne. So running is an okay thing to do in danger. But what is not okay and what David does not do in this passage is that he will not run from God. Running from God is not an option for David. And so therefore, again, my 3 points. Running from God is a bad idea. Running from God is a bad idea. Running from God is a bad idea. Now to finish, if you are going to run from anything, run from this one thing, sin. Sin is something that we should run from and not to. Now, an illustration that has stuck with me when I was a very young Christian is this. It's an illustration about a trucking company that wanted to hire a new driver. And the manager had three people to choose from. And he said to them, I want to see how close you can drive the truck to the cliff edge. Now, the first driver drove the truck within a meter of the cliff edge. He said, very good. The next driver drove the truck within centimeters of the cliff edge. He said, very, very impressive. The third driver drove the truck 100 meters away from the cliff edge. Guess who got the job? The third driver, because he drove the truck furthest away from the cliff edge. And that's what we are to do with sin. It's not how close we can get to the cliff edge. It's how far we can stay away from it. We are not meant to run to sin, but we are meant to run from it. We run from sin to our Savior Jesus, our refuge. And this is backed up in 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee from sexual immorality. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. James chapter 4 is also helpful. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since I am surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. Let us consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men that we will not grow weary and lose heart. So therefore again, running from God is a bad idea. Running from God is a bad idea. Running from God is a bad idea. Don't let Satan tempt you today to think that running from God is a good idea. And if you are going to run from anything, run from this one thing, sin. By faith, we run from sin. We run to the one with joy and gladness and celebrations in our heart. We run from sin to the one who is our refuge. We run to the one whose face we will one day see. Amen.